All right, so I hope you guys have had a great week. My week was kind of cool, and I'm going to share that a little bit later on in the talk this morning about what kind of made this week cool and get to share that with you guys. So been kind of a good time this week, and a lot of learning, and hopefully some growth, and I get to share that with you guys. So this morning, what I want to do is have any of you guys ever wondered, does God speak to me? And if He does, how do I know that it's God speaking to me? Or has God ever really spoken to people? And does He continue to speak to us today? And what manner does He speak to us? So I know that I've wondered that, and I hope that some of you guys have wondered the same thing this morning. So I want to dig into the Scripture and see what it says about some examples of God speaking to people. And first, like what I usually do, I have to go all the way back to the beginning of whenever God created Adam and Eve, and it talks about Adam and Eve walking through the garden in the cool of the day with God, conversing with God, and then whenever they disobey Him and they eat from the tree that they're not supposed to eat from, God comes looking for them, and He calls out to them, and then Adam answers back to God and tells Him that they did sin because of the woman that God gave to him, and blames it on God and blames it on the woman for his own sin. But all the way back then, it's talking about God talking to people. So I do believe that God at least at once was speaking to people, and I think that there's many other examples in the Bible of where God was speaking to people. And we have to fast forward a little bit and look at Samuel, because Samuel heard God's voice, but he wasn't sure that it was God speaking to him, so he was instructed by Eli. And I want to look at 1 Samuel 3, and we're going to start in verse 1. If you don't have your Bibles, then it's going to be up here on the screens. But 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days." God wasn't talking much. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go lie down again." So he went and he laid down, and then the Lord called again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli again and said, "Here I am, you called me." But he said, "I didn't call you, my son. Go lay down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood calling as other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." And then a relationship began between God and Samuel. So from that we can see that God spoke to Samuel, but he did that in an audible way that Samuel could hear, and he thought it was someone else, but there weren't other people around. Eli in a room in the same house wasn't able to hear God calling to Samuel. So he was speaking, but the other people around couldn't hear what God was saying. So it's not always this big, booming, loud voice that all these people hear whenever he's talking to someone. You guys with me so far? All right. So the Lord spoke to Samuel many times. He was the prophet that was there during Israel's first king, Saul. And he was also the prophet that was there when he went and anointed King David, who would become the apple of God's eye. So Samuel saw a lot and had a relationship with God throughout many years and throughout many different events. And he was always hearing from God. So that's another example of God speaking to someone in his word. The next example that we have is Gideon. Gideon heard God speak to him, but he wanted to make sure that what he was hearing was from God. And he was telling him that he was going to be doing some crazy things, and he didn't want to go off and do anything crazy unless he was sure that it was God talking to him, so he wanted some confirmation. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with looking for some confirmation from God. So let's look at Judges chapter 6, We're going to be jumping around a little bit here, but Judges 6, 36 through 40. Then Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone, and it is dry on all the ground around it, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, if you have said." And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung out enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl with water. And then that was enough for him, and he knew it was... No, I'm kidding. That didn't happen that way. He still wanted more. So Gideon said to God, "Let not your anger burn against me. Let me speak just once more. Please let me test just once more with the fleece. Please let it be dry on the fleece only and dew on the ground all around it." And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, and on the ground there was dew. So it changed up completely. Like the first time, the fleece was wet and it was dry ground, and the next time he asked for something different, and it came so. And so he had his confirmation that God was speaking to him. And I think that that's pretty crazy and pretty intense. I'm going to have to try that out sometime and see if it works for me. Anyway, then we have Moses. Moses saw the burning bush where it wasn't being consumed, and he was hearing the voice of God, and the people around there weren't, no one else heard God speaking to him, but he certainly heard it. My microphone is messed up, but so God spoke to Moses, and he spoke to Moses many times, right? He talked to him at that burning bush, and then whenever he went to Egypt, he spoke to him and told him what he needed to do for all the different plagues that came upon Egypt. And then the years after, he told him about, you know, tapping on the rock. He told him that there would be manna. He gave him the law. So Moses had a constant relationship with God, and he was always hearing from God, and God also spoke through him as well as to him. And then we've got Elijah. Elijah is the prophet, if you remember right. He was out there with all these prophets of Baal, and they were trying to see whose God was the one true God. And all these prophets of Baal, they built this altar up, and they put their sacrifice on top of it, and they kept calling down to Baal to burn this thing, light it on fire, and it never happened. And then it's Elijah's turn. So Elijah goes up there, and he has his altar. He puts the sacrifice on top of it, and then he digs a trench around the whole thing, and they start flooding it with water. The wood, the sacrifice, the stones, so much water that it filled up that trench that was around his altar with a lot of water. And then he calls God to light it on fire. And then fire rains down, and it not only consumes the sacrifice and all of the wood, but all of the water out of that trench as well. And then he goes down, as God told him to, and killed all of these different prophets of Baal. And this ticked off King Ahab's wife whenever King Ahab went back and told her what was happening. That's what we're going to pick up in Scripture here at 1 Kings 19, and we're going to start in verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the one of, as one of them, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." And then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came again and a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life and take it away." And he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. I think the point is that God is speaking to him in this still, small voice to show Elijah that the work of God doesn't need to be this big thing that like everybody notices, like the fire being wound up, that he can hear from God in this low whisper. God's not always accompanied by dramatic revelation and manifestations, and it doesn't mean that God isn't active because he's speaking quietly. Jake has brought up a scripture several times about God is doing what God does, so he's sending a messenger. Is that so? God's busy up there doing what he does. And Zechariah 4:6 tells us that God's work is not by might nor by power, but by spirit. So all these overt displays of power are not necessary for God to be doing what he does. He can speak in that slow, soft, low whisper. And because he's God, he's not confined to a single manner of communicating with his people either. There's other places in Scripture where he communicates through a whirlwind in Job, to announce his presence by an earthquake in Exodus, to speak in a voice that sounds like thunder in 1 Samuel, Job, Psalm, John. In Psalm 77:18, his voice is compared to both thunder and a whirlwind. In Revelation 4:5, we're told that lightning and thunder proceed from his throne in heaven. So God does speak to people. He has spoken to people, and we can gather that all throughout the text in the Bible. But does God speak to us today, and how does he speak to us today? And I believe that one of the ways that he speaks to us is through his word, through the Bible right here. He'll speak to us that we're searching for some kind of an answer to something that's going on in our lives. We're trying to figure something out, something that has been bothering us or something exciting or whatever the case may be. We have these things that we're contemplating. What is it that God would want me to know about this? And then we start reading his word, and there's something in there that speaks to us, and we're like, wow, that right there, you know, this isn't something that's just random. Like, I came upon what God wanted me to hear about this. I was thinking about these things, and then today's reading and the Bible is about this particular thing. So God speaks to us through his word. Am I the only person that's ever had that happen? Any of you guys ever had that happen? All right, so we've had a few people. So I want to talk about that for just a minute and see if we can have another conversation time where you guys that have had God speak to you through his word can kind of just share some kind of a story, because that's going to encourage us and build us up, just like the first church in Acts. So who has had something specific that they can think of where they had something, they were looking for an answer from God, and then God spoke to them through his word? Not everybody at once. You guys have to slow down. One person at a time, please. He says, go ahead.
Me with the verse that they gave me.
He didn't need that.
I was struggling with I knew that I was holding on to something. And I like that I completely done. Everything's blurry, and then it's
so it stood out.
And like I said, I don't know what
you didn't want to be, but that stands out though, right? Yeah, sometimes we're not open to it, huh? What else? Anybody else? Again, not everybody at once. I know somebody else that has that frequently happen. Same scripture comes up over and over again. What else? Are you dying to say anything? No? Because it's about me or something, probably. Am I the only one that's ever done the whole asking God something and then going, okay, here's what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to open up the Bible and just point. And what does that scripture right there say? The king mourns, the prince is wrapped in despair, and the hands of the people of the land are paralyzed by terror. According to their way I will do to them, and according to their judgments I will judge them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. That didn't answer anything that I had. That's a wild scripture right there. So am I the only one that's ever done that, the random text thing? So other people have done that. I see some nods, so that's a good thing. So, He speaks to us through his word. I mean, this is him. It's God breathed words on the pages. So another way that I think that God speaks to us is through our spirit. And in prayer, we can clearly hear him guiding us in what it is that we need to do. And I know that seems kind of weird to think about God guiding us in our spirits, but I know that it happens. And I want to share two personal stories about that and how I felt God clearly speaking to me. And once was what seemed audible for me. The other time was just speaking to me in my spirit. The first one is in the seminary classes that I took at Stonewater. We had 10-week semesters, 2 hours on Sunday nights, and there were 4 semesters. But in between these different semesters, he would do a class at Glen Lake Camp over here. And Glen was by Big Rocks, and we would go out there, and we'd start on Friday night, and he would teach us, and then we may go on a hike up to the cross that they have over there at the message camp. You guys all seen that big white cross up there that they have light on at night? So we would go up there and have some time up there, and then the next day would be, you know, 8 hours of sitting there and learning from Joey. But the first time that we went up to the cross, and Jake was there also, we go up to this cross, and it's this long hike, and the guy that was leading us didn't know the way, so we go almost straight up the side of this hill when there was just an easy little trail that wind back and forth. We go straight up, grabbing a hold of trees and pulling ourselves up, and I'm too heavy for that kind of thing and out of shape. So I barely get up there, I'm out of breath, and then I find my way over to the cross. But we get up there, and we had some great times. Joey did a little teaching up there, and then he asked us to quote scriptures that we knew, so we were calling out scriptures that we had memorized, and it was a great time. Then we sang some worship songs while we were up there and had a good time. And then Joey says this. He says, I'm going to ask you guys to do something that I ask Jesus, or that Jesus asked the disciples to do. I'm like, okay. He says, I'm going to ask you guys to pray for an hour. That's why I had you bring your towel and to sit down on the ground to pray. It's like, pray for an hour? What am I going to pray about for an hour? We're going to do it. He said, I'm going to set the timer, and I want you guys to just go somewhere and kneel down and pray to God. And then he's like, I know some of you are thinking, like, you know, what can I pray about for an hour? He says, whenever you get to the point where you have nothing else to pray about, then just be silent and listen for God to speak to you. So it's like, okay, I can. And it's cold. It is so cold up there that night. And we go up there, and I find my place and set out my towel, and I kneel down, and I start praying. I'm praying for my family. I'm praying for my ministry. I'm praying for Cornerstone. I'm praying for all these things, and I finally run out. And I don't know how long it had been. It could have been 5 minutes. Could have been 15. I don't know how long it had been, but I start hearing some chatter. Some of the guys had gotten around the campfire and were warming up. But I'm sitting there, and after I run out, I'm just kneeling. I'm like, God, just speak to me. Whatever it is that you want me to hear tonight, just speak to me. And I didn't know if God was going to say anything or not, but I had run out. I was empty. I had nothing else that I could think of to pray about. And as I stayed there, kneeled down, I was thinking, God, just speak to me. That's all that I'm saying over and over. God, speak to me. I hear two words very clear, and you guys know that I don't have a good memory, and I still remember the two words that came to me that night, and it was be real. And it wasn't talking about I'm like being fake or whatever, but it was more make Jesus real. Make Jesus real in your life. Make Jesus real in the lives of other people that you come in contact with. Jesus is living and alive today. So those two words said so much to my spirit that night as I was kneeling there, and because of that night is why I'm standing here today, because I so badly want to make Jesus real in people's lives. That's why I love apologetics, that I can look at history, I can look at archaeology, I can look at all these different things and say, and this stuff is real. Jesus is real. He's alive today. He's talking to us. He wants a relationship with us. He's here to save us. He's here to reconcile us from God, all from two words that I got that one night. Kneeled down in prayer, completely empty, ran out, and God spoke to me, and I heard that audibly whenever he spoke to me those two words. But I still remember that. I wish that I could remember what the voice sounded like or whatever. It wasn't like my own or anything, but clearly Jesus spoke to me whenever I'm just asking him for something. And the same thing happened with some other guys that were there at the class that night. You similar? So we're up there. Jake went to seminary with me, by the way. He went through the whole program over there. So the other story that I have is that one was several years ago, was whenever that thing happened. But something that happened just this very week that I want to share with you guys now, after I take a drink of water. This P90X makes me thirsty all the time. So there's a guy that I work with named Nino. He came on board a few months ago. He is our maintenance and kind of like the building maintenance, janitorial. He does a lot of different things, and I kind of befriended Nino whenever he first started up, and we talked several times, and sometimes I go up to work in the mornings, and I get there like super early, 6:30 or 7 o'clock, because I have work that I need to get done before everybody gets there, sometimes recording things or whatever, and if everybody's there, it's too loud, so I'm not able to do what I need to do. And probably 60% of the time, a little bit over half the times that I've gone up there, Nino shows up about the time that I get there. And Nino comes over. He's been here to the church one time also for our Christmas Eve service, but he'd come up and come over to my desk and say, James, I was watching the History Channel the other night, and they had that Bible story thing on there, or whatever channel was the Bible story, and it had this guy named Stephen, and they stoned him to death. But then a few scenes later in the same show, Stephen was back again with the disciples. Did God resurrect him? Like maybe in the show. But let's open up the Bible and let's see. So I pull up the Bible on my screen, and we're reading the end of Stephen there, and he's gone. And then we read a little bit further. I'm like, so I can't see that God resurrected him back to life again. Like he saw Jesus, and he went to be with Jesus, and they just kind of add in whatever they want to in these shows. Are you sure it was the same guy? And he's like, I'm pretty sure. So we talked about that several times. He would come over and he'd have something like that, or he'd say, I was reading and I read this and I don't understand it. So I would sometimes run out to my car and get my apologetics Bible and study Bible, and we would open up to the scripture that he was talking about, and we would look at the study notes and sometimes reference back to something else and read all that, and I would talk to him about it, and he's like, okay, that I understand that now. So that's cool. This happened several times. Well, in the last several weeks, I started feeling like I wanted to get, and I don't know where it came from, I need to get Nino a study Bible. Like all he has is just a Bible at home, and he can read that, but he's not really getting some of these things, and the study Bible is so helpful to me. So I would like for him to have that, and I start thinking about this, and it's just pressing on me that I need to get Nino a Bible. Well, we had some financial stuff come in, our tax return from way too long ago comes in, and we have a little bit of money, and one of the things on my heart was to get Nino a study Bible. So I ordered the study Bible, and I even have it overnighted because I wanted to get it to him the next day. Like, I needed to do this. And so Friday, the Bible comes in. I go over to the ladies. I'm like, hey, where's Nino at? Like, he doesn't work on Fridays. Wasted $4 getting it overnighted. No, I'm kidding. So it shows up, and he's not there. So I go ahead and open up the Bible, and it's got that thing in the front of all the Bibles where you can present it to someone. So like mine here has James Carey Oliver by Amber Rain Oliver. That's my wife. And it has the date that she gave me this Bible, which has been over a year ago. So she again, but I write everything in there, and then come Monday, I'd forgotten all about this Bible. I come in Monday, and there it is sitting on my desk. I'm like, oh yeah, I need to go find Nino. So I go ask, is Nino here today? I haven't seen him, so I'm like, well, I'm going to go looking for him. And I go outside, and I see the trash can sitting outside the building. I'm like, okay, he's got to be in that building. I go look around. He's not there. I'm like, why did somebody leave a trash can out? But then I walk around the corner, and there's Nino. He's out there. He's sweeping the sidewalk outside. And I come walking up there to Nino, and I'm like, hey, Nino, I got you this Bible. And so I hand him the Bible, and he just sits there, and he starts just looking at this Bible. And he goes, thank you, James. How much do I owe you for this? I said, man, just be blessed by this Bible. It's for you. To enjoy. I said, and that's the one that's like mine, the one I got to my car and get sometimes, and look down here, it's got the study notes in the bottom about the different scriptures, and it'll help you to understand some stuff before. And he starts seeming kind of emotional, and so I'm like, what do I say to this? I'm not an emotional guy, so what do I do here? I'm like, man, it's just from me to you. Like, I felt like God wanted me to get you this study Bible, and it's just to bless you and your family. He goes, I know, but here's the thing, though. He goes, on last week, like a few days ago, just like 3 days ago, I decided that I wasn't reading the Bible anymore. I was done with the Bible. I couldn't understand it. I've been reading it for years and years. I'm trying to read it again, and I'm just not understanding this. So he goes, I was just done. And then he goes, and then here comes you walking up with the study Bible so that it can help me understand the Word as I'm handed to him. Now, what's cool about that circumstance to me is a couple of different things. One, Nino had told God, I'm done with your Word. I'm not understanding what it is that you're trying to speak to me. I can't understand this, God. That same day, the Bible arrives, but he's not at work. A few days later, I hand him the Bible. Nino gets to see God saying, no, don't stop reading. Here's you a different way to read God's Word and to understand it, to understand what I'm trying to speak to you. Here's a way to do that. Me, from my perspective, I don't know. I'm just thinking, man, I feel pressed to get this guy at work a Bible. And so I'm just walking up there and handing it to him. And then he is blessed beyond like a $25 Bible that I'm handing to him. He is blessed beyond that. It said something to him from God. God used me to talk to him. Secondly, I get to tell several guys about that this week and how that happened and how all these pieces came together to bless this guy. And it gets to edify the body and share with people, and then they get to see God at work. I also get to stand here today and tell all of you guys about this way that God aligned all these things to where Nino could get a Bible and understand the Bible better, and now he's going to start reading again because there's a way to help him understand that. That's what I think the first church did. They came together and studied the scriptures and talked about what God was doing around them, and sometimes we just have to pay attention to see these little things, and we have to listen to God. When he's saying, spend, you know, $25 of your money to go and bless this guy with a Bible, do it. It didn't hurt me really financially. It turns out that it may have, but not that bad. It was well worth it to be obedient to what God wanted me to do and get to be part of something that I think was big. I don't know how big yet, but it was big. Maybe someday I'll see Nino on the big screen preaching to all kinds of people, and it'll go back to a time that God used me to talk to him. I don't know. So that's my other example. I think that it was just awesome getting to be used and getting to see how God worked everything out with just a guy at work. Listen to God whenever he's talking to you, and just be obedient to that. Now I just want to share a couple more things so I don't keep you guys here for too long. Because I believe that whenever we hear God speak to us, whenever we hear that voice say, you know, it'll be encouraging to a brother in Christ to go get him a Bible. And I listen, we need to make sure that it doesn't disagree with God's word. Anything that we're told by God will not disagree or contradict in any way, because God does not contradict himself. If he's telling us to do something that contradicts his word, it's not God talking to you. The lady that I read about, I think last night or maybe the night before, that God told her to murder her infant son and do this crazy stuff, that was very contradictory to what the word says. Having said that, there are times in the Bible, in the Old Testament, where God did say, these people are wicked and they are never going to change. Go in and do not leave a single one of them. But never once did God say, kill that innocent baby that's your child and let that happen. That contradicts what God says. He says, don't murder, and she murdered her baby. That was contradictory to what the word says. So make sure when God's speaking to you that it does not contradict what he tells us in here. It should never, ever, ever do that. The other thing that I want to say is, if you don't hear from God like I did that night at the cross, and nothing that cool has happened since that time, I don't think that that means that there's something necessarily wrong, but I believe that God always answers us if we're looking for that answer. If we say, God, I need to know an answer to this, I believe God's, if we ask for yes, no, or answers like that, he's going to say yes, he's going to say no, or he's going to say not now. God will always answer us whenever we're asking something from him. Is it going to be audible where we hear that? Maybe, or maybe it may not be audible. It could come through something in his word. So I believe that God will always answer us, and I believe that we can hear him in our spirit as well, and we can hear God speak to us, and right here is why. If we believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and we've trusted him with our souls for all of eternity, we've made that choice that we want to follow him, then what lives in us? The Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. And here's scriptural proof. It's not something I just made up. John 14:15-17 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We should do that. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. If God is that close inside of us, don't we think we can hear him whenever he's speaking to us? And sometimes we want to block that out, but the Spirit is right there in us. so he can speak to us in the way that he wants to do. He was sent as a comforter to give us comfort, and sometimes we need reminded about something, and the Holy Spirit can comfort us. But he's also there to convict us whenever we're about to do something wrong, and we hear that most of the time, saying, don't do that, that's not what God would want you to do, but a lot of times we still make that decision to go against that. But I believe that God can speak to us because he is right here inside of us today. He's a living God. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's right here with us. So I firmly believe that God will speak to us through his word. He will also speak to us through our spirit that dwells inside of us. So I want to stay, we're not in the series, but I want to stay devoted to God and grow closer to him each and every week so that we can hear whenever God speaks to us. That's like my biggest desire, is to always be paying attention for the things happening around me and hearing stories from other people about how God is working in their lives, because I think that that builds us up and lets us know just how real God is. With that, I just want to pray, and then we will get out of here. If Patrick will put on a song just for a minute, you guys, right there where you're at, you can pray right where you sit. God hears you. There's something awesome I'm telling you about. Come up here to the altar and just laying it up here, and you're welcome to do that. I'm glad to pray with someone if they want me to pray with them. But after just a minute of just quiet time with God, then I'll close us in prayer. Something today. Let God know about that this morning. Let him know that you want to hear his voice speaking to you. Be like Samuel and say, here I am. Lord, use me. Speak to me. Dear God, we just come before you honored to be your children this morning. We thank you for all the blessings that you give us in our lives. We thank you that you are still so active in our lives and in the lives around us. You are an awesome daddy, and we love you for that. We know that you love us. And today we want to ask you to help us to hear you whenever you are talking to us. Help us to recognize your voice. We want to be Jesus' sheep, where we hear his voice whenever he's calling out to us. God, we ask you that you forgive us where we fail you, because we know that the ways are many. We're always messing up. Even when we try our best to do what's right, God, sometimes we still mess up. We just ask for you to heal our relationship with you, heal our relationships with each other, heal our relationship with our spouse, with our friends, with our family. God, we thank you for what you've already done. We thank you for what you're going to do. We don't even know what that is, but God, we thank you. We are grateful. More than anything, we're grateful that you sent your son to die on the cross so that we could be saved, so that we don't have to live the eternity that we deserve, but we get to live the eternity that you have planned for those that trust Jesus. God, thank you. This morning I've got things in my heart that I want to pray for. There's marriages that are in trouble. God, I want to lift up those marriages to you for healing. God, do a mighty work in the lives of these people that I know. Help them to be focused on you and nothing but you. God, I want to lift up people in this church that are in need of healing, of physical healing. That have been through the medicines that man has to offer. God, I ask you that you would go in and heal the things that need to be healed and help them to be well again. God, in Jesus' powerful name, I ask for these things. I don't have the power. You have the power. And I just ask that you would go in and heal these things. Take care of these things. They're in your hands. We've exhausted everything we can do, but not everything that you can do. God, you are the miracle worker, not us. God, we thank you that you show us so much love, and we ask that we could learn to love everyone the same way that you love us. God, help us to leave here today strengthened by your word, strengthened by your message. God, help us to walk out of these doors here today more in tune with what you want for our lives. God, the things that you work out are so awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, we ask for these things, all of these things, in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.